Abraham was empowered and he was strengthened by the Holy Ghost as he gave glory to God. He was empowered. And we also can be empowered and we can be strengthened every day as we give glory to God. Part of giving glory to God is just thanking Him. Amen? Are we a thankful bunch? We're not a whiny bunch. We're not a complaining bunch. We're in the glory club. We're in the lift up our hands and give Him thanks club. Amen? Well, praise God. I had a word come into my heart, and that is walking in newness of life. The scripture we want to look at, among others, in Romans 6:4 says this, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by what?" We could do a little better than that. By what? By the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We just celebrated the resurrection. Well, thank God, when He was raised, we were raised. Amen. We were raised by the glory of the Father. What an event that took place. So now, you and I, because we've been raised by the glory of the Father, the glory of God will help us and enable us to walk in newness of life. When we look at that word newness, I immediately think of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. I want to look at it in a few translations this morning. First of all, in the King James, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." The NLT says, "This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old is gone and a new life has begun." The NIV says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone and the new is here." Amen. Phillips translation says it this way, "He becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything has become fresh and new." You see, a new man in Christ is a new species that never existed before. I'm not looking at a bunch of forgiven sinners. I'm looking at new creations with a new kind of life. The Greek word for the word new there means new in quality or new in kind. One writer put it this way, "When you are born again, or when you are saved, you get in-Christed." You get in-Christed. What does that mean? That means whatever is in Him is in you. We are in union with Him. "For he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit." The Amplified Version of 1 Corinthians 6:17 says it this way, "But the person who is united to the Lord becomes one spirit with Him." You see, God the Father put into Christ everything He wanted you to have. Amen. The same life, the same righteousness, the same blessing, and as Brenda so aptly put it today, the same victory. So now as new creations in Christ Jesus, we are able then to walk in newness of life. Now, in order to do that, we need to have a renewed mind. And that's why we go over these truths oftentimes over and over again throughout the decades. Because you understand, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. So we never want to have an attitude, "Well, I've heard that before." Well, could you use some watering? Could the seeds that have been planted for years and years, could it use a little watering? Because without the water, there will be no increase. So I believe that we're increasing in the knowledge of God. We're increasing in revelation knowledge of the new creation in Christ Jesus. And so the renewal of the mind is of utmost importance. Ephesians 4, verse 23 and verse 24 says it this way, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And then he goes on to say, and that you put on the new man. Put on the new man. Which is what? Which is created in righteousness and true holiness. One translation says, put on the new man, the person that you are. Amen. So let's deal with that for a moment. Put on the new man. The word put on is an activity. It's like putting on new clothes. It means intentionally and conscientiously choosing to live out of who you are in Christ. It's making a choice every day. I am a new creation, but I'm going to live like it. I'm not just a new creation on paper. I'm a new creation in my heart. And as a result, I'm going to walk in this new creation. I'm going to walk in the reality of my redemption. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to live in. I'm going to put on the new man. And I'm going to walk in newness of life. Woo! Glory to God. So walking in newness of life is walking in your new nature. But we must choose to walk in it every day. Because it's not every day that we feel like it. Aren't you glad that we do not live by feelings, that we live by, we walk by faith. Amen? Amen. And so all I'm saying to you this morning is this, is we have a part to play. We must put on the new man. This new man is a partaker of the life of God and of the nature of God. And when we talk about being a new creation, we're not talking about behavior modification. We're not talking about that at all. You know why? When I was in grade school, I was kind of a troublemaker, and I got in trouble a lot. And so they would call me into the office. The principal would ask me this question very often. Now, Mr. Thomas, you knew you were in trouble when they started calling you Mr. Thomas when you were 8 years old. The question is, now, Mr. Thomas, are you ready to turn over a new leaf? So we're not necessarily talking about behavior modification. We're talking about identity transformation. And when there is a transformation in your identity, it will have a great deal to do with how you behave. Amen? But if you try to behave without knowing who you are and what you have in Christ, no, it is a losing battle. So you and I, so to walk in newness of life, amen, we need a revelation of our identification. Everyone say, I receive a revelation of my identification. You know, when you travel, when you make purchases, you have to have your ID, right? If you've been to the airport recently, they're going to ask you for your picture ID. You've got to have ID if you want to get where you want to go. Is that right? And also, we must have a revelation of our identification if we want to get where God wants us to go. And if we want to have what God wants us to have. Amen. And how many of you know that identity theft is a big thing today? I mean, daily we get things on our iPhone about, well, you know, this is expired, but if you just call this number and give us your credit card, we'll make sure that it doesn't expire. Well, they're fishing, right? What are they fishing for? They're fishing for your identification. Why is that? Because they want to get what belongs to you. And so I want to encourage you, especially you seniors and you seniors. I want to encourage you to be very mindful of it. Make sure that you safeguard your identity. You know, the other day someone called and Brenda was on the phone and some guy from Florida was trying to tell her about this and that and something expired. I said, give me the phone. So I took the phone and I said, no, we ain't talking to you. Click. That's all you got to do. You know, if you get phone calls and it says spam, just forget it. Don't even answer it. Those folks are not for you any more than the devil is for you. Just as there is identity theft in the natural, they get that identity theft from the devil himself. Why is that? Because the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. So what we need to do then is safeguard our identity of who we are and what we have in Christ. Don't let the devil rob you of this revelation. Don't for one moment think, well, you have arrived. I've got it. Well, you may have it now, but this revelation can leak. It's something that we must feed upon on a regular basis. Something that we must think about on a regular basis. Something that we must renew our minds to every day of our life. And I'll say it while I'm at it. If my identity and your identity is based on anything that you can lose, it's based on the wrong thing. It's based on the wrong thing. Our identity should never be in what we do. Our identity should always be in who we are. In who we are. Amen? So who are you? See, when people don't know who they are, what happens is they get discouraged. When the seasons of life change and they're not aware of who they are, and they become empty nesters, and careers change, and seasons change, it is so easy to get discouraged. But the foundation for seasonal health, the foundation for life health, is to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You do not have to be discouraged. What we can do is we can encourage ourselves daily on who we are. And if you will encourage yourself daily on who you are, you're going to soar through every season of life. I don't believe that any season of life that God has for us should be boring. I believe that every season of our life should be exciting. It should be something that we embrace. No matter what your age may be, your firm foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the rock of your deliverance. He is the lifter of your soul. He is the one who instills hope in you on a daily basis. So let's soar through every season of life, knowing who we are, knowing where we are, and knowing what we have in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I'm going to say this, who you are is not based on your performance. The world will tell you it is. But who we are is not based on our performance. Our acceptance is not based on what we have done. Our acceptance is based on what He has done. Amen?
Amen.
So let's talk just for a moment about acceptance. Look with me over at Ephesians chapter 1. And notice with me in verse 6. Ephesians, the first chapter in the 6th verse says this. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has had. Now notice this. This is something He has done. This is not something we attain to. He has made us what? He has made us accepted where?
In the Beloved.
In the Beloved. The Beloved One has accepted you. We are not merely tolerated by God. No, no, no. We are welcome. We are fully embraced. We are so approved because we are in Christ Jesus. Now, what happens is when we get an understanding of this, this will displace rejection. Has anybody ever been rejected before? Rejection is something that I would say each and every one of us have faced in this auditorium this morning. But I'll tell you this, rejection is not part of your father's vocabulary toward you. Amen. It's not rejection, it's acceptance. Amen. Now, who is the author of rejection? The author of rejection is the devil. You talk about a major rejection, he got thrown out of heaven. He got displaced from his place, and he got displaced from his authority. So many people feel rejected because they base their worth on people's opinions. What does this person think about me? You know, you might get a understanding that a lot of people just flat aren't thinking about you. That's fear. And so a lot of people's, they feel rejected because of other people's opinions. How about this one? Past failures. Or broken relationships. Or their own insecurities. But the Bible tells you and I that we are accepted in the Beloved. That our acceptance is permanent and it is secure. I love this statement. Rejection by man cannot undo acceptance by God. Amen. Amen. And listen to this. Earthly rejection becomes powerless when you realize you have eternal acceptance. Now notice this word accepted again. Accepted. You've been accepted in the Beloved. The Greek word accepted there is charito. Charito. Not Dorito. You can go eat in a little while. Matter of fact, I'm going to have Mexican food later. I welcome Doritos. How about you? But the Greek word for accepted is charitoo. And what it means is this, is highly favored. When he says that you are accepted in me, he's saying you are highly favored by me. Thayer, who is a Greek scholar, says that charito also means that we are not only highly favored, but we are surrounded by favor. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. You know, that would be a good way you to think about yourself. I'm surrounded by favor every day of my life. I have such great favor that I not only have favor with God, but I have favor with man. Ooh, glory to God. Say with me, I am blessed, and I am highly favored. Can anyone testify today that you have experienced the favor of God in your life? Amen. The more that you express thanksgiving for the favor that He has already shown you, the more you position yourself for even greater favor in the days ahead. Continual and constant declarations of the favor of God will set you up and will connect you to favor upon favor. You are not the rejected, you are the accepted. Woo, glory to God. Amen. So notice with me now in the book of Psalms, chapter 5 and verse 12. Psalms 5, verse 12. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Psalm 5, verse 12 says this. Surely, Lord, you will bless the righteous. Well, that's you, isn't it? The NIV says, you surround them with favor as with a shield. Just see that shield of favor all around you. Jerry Savelle said it this way. When the favor of the Lord goes before you, it opens doors that no man can shut. It changes rules, and it changes policies, and it changes regulations on your behalf. Amen. You see, the favor of God will get you through doors that a lot of people can't get through. Why is that? Because the favor of God's going before you. Yes. Woo, glory to God. And it's opening doors. It's opening great effectual doors for you and great effectual doors for me. Everyone shout, I have favor.
I have favor.
So in short, being accepted or being doritoed, I mean churitoed, in the beloved means you're highly favored. You are deeply graced. Ooh, I like that. I'm deeply graced. His grace is sufficient for you. His grace is sufficient for us. Ooh, glory to God. His grace is abundant. It's abounding in your life. It's abounding in you. It's abounding toward you. His grace is sufficient. And so we stand in His grace. We rejoice in His grace. We live by His grace. We walk in newness of life by the very grace of God. So this word, again, it means to be deeply graced. And then it also means to be honored with special favor. An advantage of the believer is to have special favor in your life. Glory to God. Now, this is a good word, but this will not apply to your life unless you start proclaiming it. Matter of fact, any time you've been deeply graced, any time you've seen the favor of God show up in your life, you ought to recognize it. And one way that we can recognize it, and we learned this from Brother Jerry, when God does something like that for you, you ought to say, that's the favor of God. That's the favor of God. That's the goodness of God. And I'm talking about things that might seem little, but there's nothing little with God. I mean, a parking space at a full mall is the favor of God. Come on, somebody. A sale at Macy's to buy your Easter dress is the favor of God. Somebody says, well, I got this good deal because I'm a great negotiator. No, you got this great deal because you serve a great God. Amen. He gives blessings. He gives deals. He surrounds His people with supernatural favor. Hallelujah. Amen. And when you approach people, you don't have to approach them like, hey, I've got favor. You got to give me a deal. No, you just live in the consciousness of this blessing. Live in the consciousness that you're accepted in the beloved. That you're highly favored of God. Somebody said, well, I know. The brother so-and-so is highly favored because he has all this and he has all that. Brother so-and-so is in the same family you're in. You're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ as much as brother so-and-so is. So don't compare yourself with brother so-and-so. Just live in the favor of God. Rejoice in the favor of God that He has shown you every day of your life. I'm telling you the truth about it. The fact that we woke up this morning is the favor of God. Amen. The fact that I was able to pour 8 ounces of Pete's French roast in my cup today, it was the favor of God. Amen. Woo, everyone shout favor.
Favor.
I'm deeply graced.
I'm
highly honored.
Glory to God.
You have found favor with God and with man. That's what Gabriel said to Mary. You're highly favored. You're highly favored. And I just want this to resound with you all week long that I am not the rejected. I am the accepted and the beloved. And I'm highly favored. Glory to God. Laugh about it. Amen. And then there are believers that see themselves as incomplete. Why do they do that? Because they're conscious of their lack and their imperfections. The good news is this. God doesn't see us as incomplete. God sees us as whole. God sees us as complete in Him. Now look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Can you hang around just for a few more moments? We're doing pretty good, aren't we? I mean, for this Sunday after Easter, we're doing all right, aren't we? Amen. One of the toughest services to preach all year long. is the Sunday after Easter and the Sunday after Christmas. But we're doing pretty good. Look at your neighbor and say, are you doing okay? I'm okay, but I'm not sure you're okay. I'm okay, but you're not okay. I'm not okay, and you're not okay. Everyone say, I'm okay. I'm better than okay. I am complete in Him. Go ahead and laugh about it a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Glory! I like to shout today. I like to dance. Hallelujah. I like to proclaim the goodness of God. I like to proclaim the favor of God in your life. Amen, amen, amen. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, and you are incomplete in Him. See, you're not listening. Verse 10 says, you are complete in yourself. You're complete in Him. And that's exactly where you are. You are in Him. I am in Him. Him is in me. And I'm complete in Him. For He's the head of all principality and power. Did you wear a shout and clothes? Look at the Passion Translation. Look at this verse. Let's read it together. As a matter of fact, on the count of three. One, two, three. Ready, read. And our own completeness is found now in Him. We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universal, in the universe. See, I'm telling you to read and I'm not doing so good myself. But what jumped out at me on this word here is your completeness is found in Him. Don't look to people. Or places, or things to complete you. Man cannot complete you. As much as I love Brenda, and as much as Brenda loves me, she doesn't complete me. I don't complete her. But because we are both complete in Him, we complete one another. And we enjoy the goodness of God. But understand that it's only found in Him. Money cannot complete you. Now, how many of you, let's be honest about some money helpeth? Everyone say, money helpeth. Money doesn't hurteth. Therefore, I claim that money cometh to me. Now, especially when your money has a mission behind it. Money can hurt you if you put money first. But the Bible says the love of money is the what? The root of all evil. But if you love God and you put Him first, He'll give you money. He will give you money. Money with a mission. I love that, don't you? So to be complete in Him means that we are whole in Him. We don't need another source of righteousness. I don't need another source of acceptance. I don't need another source of authority. We have everything when we have Christ. And we are filled with God through our union with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you're not going to be complete someday. You are complete in Him. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Are you getting it today? Glory to God. Say it with me. I am accepted in the Beloved. And I am complete in Him. Pretty good color shirt, isn't it? Somebody said, well, real men don't wear pink. Well, this man does. It's lavender, I guess. Now, let's bring this home. Are you ready to bring this home? Look at Philemon verse 6. Philemon verse 6. Amen. Philemon verse 6 says this, and I pray that the participation in and sharing of your faith may produce and promote full recognition and appreciation and understanding and precise knowledge, now notice this, of every good thing that is ours in what? In our identification with Him. Amen. So what are you saying today? I'm saying we need to meditate, think about, speak about every good thing that is in Christ. Think about them and then speak them out loud. Acknowledge and declare every good thing that is in Him. Because when you are in Him, they're in you. Amen? Amen? The word acknowledge there means declare, and it means to confess. So what are you saying? I'm saying this. The confession is one way to acknowledge your identity in Christ. Amen. How many of you have ever heard of Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans, a mighty woman of God? She said this in one of her books. She said, God has tied Himself irrevocably to human cooperation in the execution of divine purposes. Now listen. He has made man's faith a determining factor in the work of redemption. In other words, our faith determines how much of redemption we're going to partake of. She said, I like this. She said that God is looking for someone to believe and to say the same thing. Yes. Amen? He's looking for you. He's listening to you. He's looking for men and women just like you to believe Him and to say the same thing. The acknowledgement of your faith, the declaration of your faith, the speaking of your faith is based on what the Word says concerning your life. Amen? And the word confession literally means to say the same thing. So it would behoove us then to know what God has said about us.
Yes, that's right.
And then hook with that. Connect with that. Whatever He has said, I'm going to say. For He hath said some great things about your life. So whatever He has said, I'm going to hook up with what He said, and I'm going to say the same thing. And if I will say the same thing He said, I will have, according to Mark 11:23, I will have what I say. Because understand this, what I say is not based on theory. It's not based on man's ideas. It's not based on religion. What we say is based on the firm foundation of God's Word. And you cannot get any firmer. You cannot get any more rock solid than to base your faith and your belief and your words on what God's Word has said.
Amen.
The book of Hebrews said, seeing then that we have a great high priest. Is He not a great high priest?
Yes.
Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Notice, that is passed into the heavens. Let us then hold fast the what? The confession of our faith. In other words, let us hold fast to saying the same things that our high priest has said about us.
Amen.
Amen. So He has said some things about us. And there's another verse in Hebrews that says, wherefore, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession. What does that mean? Consider him. That means consider him who gave His life for you. Consider Him who brought His Word to you. He is a faithful high priest. And He is the apostle of your confession. What does that mean? The word apostle is apostolos in the Greek, and it means the sent one. So what God has done is He sent Jesus as our sent one. And that means he represents us before the throne of God. So as we take his word and believe it and speak it, he has been sent before the Father to see to it that what you and I say on earth comes to pass. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I like that. How about you? Now, one minister wrote a book about the power of I am. Everyone say I am. He wrote a book about the power of I am. And he listed several I am statements. I think it was very interesting. And he said this in his book. Whatever you follow the I am with, you're handing it an invitation. Yeah. Whatever you follow, in other words, whatever you say after you say I am, you're handing it an invitation. Yeah. Or we could say it this way, you're opening the door. And doing what? Giving it permission to be in your life. So we need to watch our words. So it says, I wish you weren't so particular about words. Well, God is.
Yes, he is.
Christianity is called the Great Confession.
Yes, yes, yes.
The Bible says we're saved if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. Amen? So we need to be careful about what we say. For instance, if we talk about, I'm so broke, I'm so in debt, that's an invitation for struggle. That's an invitation for lack. When you continuously talk about, oh, I'm so tired, and I'm so fatigued, and yes, we do get tired, and we do get fatigued, but it doesn't do any good for us to rehearse it day and night. Especially when you can rehearse, thank God, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. He's renewing my youth just like the eagles. He gives power to the faint. And to them that have no might, He's increasing my strength. But if as a way of life, you talk about, you're so tired, you're so fatigued, that's sending an invitation. Here's another one. I'm just so forgetful. Stop that. I'm just so forgetful. I just seem to forget this and I seem to forget that. And what that is doing is inviting memory problems to come look for you. It's just as easy to say, I have the mind of Christ. I have a sound mind. The memory of the just is blessed. The Holy Ghost is in me. He's making me of a quick understanding.
Yes.
Glory to God. I'm quick. I'm bright. I'm sharp. I'm good looking. I'm very rich. And I'm a major blessing.
Yes.
Send that invitation out.
Yes.
Everyone smile.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just so overweight. Well, you may be, but stop talking about it.
Amen.
Stop inviting calories to come look for you. Are you here yet this morning or not? Hallelujah. Amen. Stop talking about how overweight you are. We don't want to hear it. We can see it. Do something about it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm not sure. But I'm doing the best I can. I'm saying don't invite what you don't want. I mean, let's be honest about it. If you're having a party, don't invite people you don't want to come to the party. If you don't want people calling you, do not give them your info. Right? Don't invite what you don't want. Don't call for what you don't desire. If you want the dog, stop calling the cat. faith calls those things which be not as though they were. If you want strength, don't call weak. If you want healing, don't call sickness. If you want a sound mind, don't say I'm forgetful. How about this? This week, send out some new invitations. Set a watch, O God, over my mouth. Check me for those things. They're not in alignment with your will and your purpose and your plan for my life. Stop saying, I never hear from God. But rather say, I'm His sheep. I hear His voice. I follow Him. And I enjoy my life. See, God's not the author of confusion. He's the author of peace. So don't speak confusion. Somebody says, yeah, but I really don't know what to do. Stop talking about it. Say this. The wisdom of God is on the inside of me. And the wisdom of God is flowing into my soul. And is making my paths clear. And causing me to come into the fullness of the plan of God.
Amen. Praise God. Yeah.
Whew. Laugh a little bit. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Whew. Send out some new invitations. Get up in the morning and invite good things into your life. When you go through the day, say things like, I'm blessed. And blessings will come looking for you. Kenneth Copeland says every morning when he wakes up, he said, this is my receiving day. I would dare say that he has received. Amen. And God doesn't want you receiving just every now and then. He wants every day to be your receiving day. Come on, somebody. Do we always feel up to par? No. Do we? No. But when you say I'm healthy and I'm strong, that's an invitation. Amen. So here's my encouragement to you in closing. It's 11:29. We're about ready to go. But here's my encouragement to you this morning is never, if you want to walk in newness of life, never say negative things about yourself. But let's stand up and let's say a few things. It just seems to me like there's something ought to be said today. There's something that should be activated today. There's something that we need, if you would, give God to work with today. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Come on, let's just say hallelujah about 3 or 4 times.
Hallelujah.
Let's say glory to God about 3 times. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I just thought of something, Chuck. Chuck and I went golfing, a while back. And I said some negative things about my golf. I'm a hack. I'm not a good golfer. I'm declaring I'm not a hack. I'm a good golfer. At 74 years old, I can hit the ball a mile and a half. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Amen. I was watching the Warriors last night. How many of you watched the Warriors last night? Is Steph Curry one bad dude or not? I mean, he's a good dude, but he's a bad dude, right? Wow. They say that other NBA athletes have gone to work out with him on one of his workouts and couldn't finish. He was working out. But one of the coaches from the Houston Rockets said to one of the players, because he was having a struggle, he had 38 points one night. The next night he had 6 or so, and he wasn't having such a good night last night, thank God. And he said, you need to see yourself and say, I'm a great basketball player. Some of you need to see yourself the way that God sees you. You're a great parent. You're a great grandparent. You are a faithful church member. You are a tithing, bringing your offering, sanctified steward and servant of the Most High God. I just dropped by to stir you up a little bit today. I hope you've been stirred. Let's say some things. Let's declare some things. In order to walk in newness of life, you've got to speak it out. So raise a hand toward heaven and say this, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loves me. I am strong. Do that again. I am strong. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I am complete in Him. I am His workmanship. I'm created in Christ Jesus. God's got good plans for me. God's got good paths for me. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Woo, say it real strong. I am highly favored of God. I'm deeply blessed by God. Shout somebody. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And some of you just need to flat shut fear up. Stop yielding to fear. And declare daily, I am fearless. Oh, we need to say that two more times. I am fearless. One more time. Real, real strong. I am fearless. Because God didn't give you a spirit of fear, but a power and a love. And as you speak my word daily, and as you participate by declaring what I have said in my word, know this, that not only I am watching over my word to perform it, but the angels of the Lord who have been encamped around about you listen to the words that you speak, and you dispatch them and you send them. For there are errand angels. There are angels that I've assigned to you. There are angels that I've assigned to your family. There's errands that I've assigned to your finances. There are things that I've assigned to your vocation. So get the angels involved, says the Lord. For the angels of the Lord hearken to the voice of my word. And you are my voice in the earth. You are my voice. So rise up, son. Rise up, daughter. Believe and speak. And watch what your good Father will do on your behalf. Ooh, glory to God. Glory to God. Let's pray a little bit. Oh, ringe setala maha. Thank God. Angels are working. Angels are working. They're protecting my loved ones. The angels are working, protecting our loved ones. The angels are working, protecting our church family. The angels are at work. The angels are at work, protecting all of our loved ones in the name of Jesus. No evil shall befall them, neither shall any plague come nigh their dwelling. Hallelujah. Say it me, ministering spirits, I send you now. Go and work on my family's behalf. Protect them. Even strengthen them. Ministering angels, go now and cause the finances to come to me. In the name of Jesus, Say in the name of Jesus three times. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.